Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Alex Andrade filling in for Andrew McKay this morning. We have here in the studio my good friend Walker Wilson, and on the line we have the biggest boogeyman in Florida politics, Anthony Pedicini. Anthony, are you on?
I am. What an introduction. Thanks, Representative.
in reality, Anthony is what folks call a campaign consultant. Anthony, and primarily for Republicans like myself, Anthony, can you explain for listeners what a campaign consultant does?
Yeah, I mean, basically, we're the instrument by which a person who's running for office develops a campaign plan and executes that plan over the course of a campaign. And that's the shortest answer I can give you. That's probably textbook Webster Dictionary definition. In reality, we're a confidant. We're a psychologist. We're a cheerleader, and all those other things that go into keeping a candidate on track.
You're a therapist. You're a sometimes the source of tough conversations.
Yeah, I mean it's a fun job. I'll tell you that. And you know, what a lot of people don't realize anymore is that you know we are hired guns, and we have jobs to do. And it's a contact sport politics, especially in Florida. And I know your listeners, Alex, in that area, or the radio listeners, as you're subbing in today, they've seen all sorts of campaigns up there, hit pieces and positive pieces, and you know, if it's true, it's fair, and if you're going to run, you got to gird up and get ready to be in the ring.
But Anthony, a lot of times folks try and target campaign consultants and attribute them to the candidate, but from my perspective, I mean, like you handle ad buys, you handle graphic design for mailers, you provide advice on potentially what voters would like to see from your experience. What's some pieces of advice you normally give candidates when they're first running?
Well, the first thing that we tell them is you have to be ready to knock doors and actually face voters. I did an interview a while ago where I told the Tampa Bay Times that we don't like candidates do public forums, and I think that's still true. I mean, in order to control your message, you need a candidate who is so experienced that they can stay on message no matter what. And a lot of candidates, you know, in their first run anyway, want to make people happy. They just say things sometimes. They just not things that are untrue, but you know, in the heat of the moment, you'll mess up, and those mess ups are what kill campaigns. And so, as a consultant, what we're trying to do is minimize the opportunity for mess up, if that makes sense. And optimize the ability of message control.
In your experience, is it the candidate, like if one candidate can raise a relatively good amount of money and another candidate raises significantly more, how much does money play a role in campaigns today?
I think it plays a great role, Alex, but I think also that the candidate has to be real, right? You can't have someone that doesn't know their community, who doesn't have a base in the community. You know, we try to find candidates or work for candidates on all levels of the government that are reflective of the community they serve. I mean, you're not going to elect a candidate who represents 90% of Florida beach towns who's from the mainland. It just doesn't work. You got to be involved. You got to be known. You got to have some kind of a record. You don't necessarily have to have name ID, but you have to be real, if that makes sense.
Oh, no, it makes perfect sense to me. I mean, I remember when I first ran, while, you know, I was young and everything, I was involved in the community before I ran, and that helped immensely in my first election. And y'all were able to provide that advice on, like, you need to focus on raising money and knocking on doors, and you need to not be so focused on, say, like, Facebook comments or public forums, right?
Yeah, it also makes it easy for us if you're real and know your community, because you'll tell us, like, hey, no, I know that in this precinct this happened. We don't need to go there. Got that locked down. I was there for this, you know, this pothole filling, or I helped this community. I helped this community repair a streetlight when I was the HOA president. And so there are things like that that go into it. I mean, money is an important part because you can't send out a mailer and you can't be on the radio and you can't be on TV without money. It's not, we don't drive up the cost of campaigns. It's just, it's the cost of the media. Right. And with the postage going up and television rates going up and radio rates going up because we have more listeners and more viewers and more mailboxes than ever before in Florida because we're growing so fast. Those costs are going up as well. And so the amount of money someone can donate to a campaign hasn't gone up in at least a decade. So you're trying to do the same amount of fundraising, but your dollar's not going as far as it used to.
I got you. Anthony, give me 1 second for traffic. We'll be right back.
That's all right. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even Highway 90 and 98 are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, Anthony. I know a lot of times candidates might focus on endorsements. What endorsements do you think matter the most in races like, say, a special congressional election in Congressional District 1 here in the Panhandle?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's two endorsements I think in your area, especially in Escambia County, Santa Rosa County. That matter. Well, the first would be the president of the United States. If Donald Trump is going to endorse you, he has unbelievable name ID. He has unbelievable power to pull at the ballot box. He's number one. And then number two, or actually three in your neck of the woods, sorry. Number two would be Ron DeSantis. Similar power to the president. And he's a beloved figure in Florida, so he would matter. And then third, the Gates family. The Gates family are very well known and very well respected in conservative circles in that area of the world, and they would matter a whole bunch. And you know, in your special, Alex, in CD1, I mean, I know Jimmy Patronis is running, and I think he's going to win. I think he's a great candidate. I think he's got all of the things happening for him that need to happen in order to win a special. And I don't think there's anyone in Florida politics or even people who watch nationally who think Jimmy won't be the next congressman from Pensacola.
Well, that makes sense. We have
not to steal your next question.
Oh no, we had Robert Bender on a moment ago talking about what goes into a special election, and how much time and effort goes into it. But we will find out if your prediction is right in about 13 days, 14 days. So if you're right, we'll say that you're clairvoyant, Anthony. I promise.
Just remember, I mean, special elections are special. I mean, I know that sounds cliche, but there's nothing normal about a special election. And I bet when Robert was talking about all the things that his office has to do to get ready for a special election, candidates don't know who's going to show up. Special elections, you don't have voter history, so you're targeting a large amount of people, and just a minute piece of that will show up to decide who wins the primary, and same thing for the general. So just remember, elections are special and they're quirky, and they can take a turn in a minute.
Speaking of elections being quirky and taking a turn in a minute, do you have any examples, any races you're willing to talk about where the result was not what you expect? Well, I guess, do you focus more on the primaries in most of these races or on the generals?
It depends on where we are. I mean, you know, the joke in Florida is the further south you go, the further north you are. You know, that is true politically from the conservative perspective. From the north to the south, Florida tends to get a little more purple, not recently, and we're turning red, but coastal areas are a little more hard-fought for Republicans and generals, and mostly the inland and panhandle areas are hard-fought primaries with easy generals. I think that, you know, you fight as hard. It's different fights. It's the primary is a different fight. You're fighting for the conservative mantle and who's the most conservative candidate or who will carry the governor's or president's water the best. And then in a general election, you're literally trying to say that, hey, look, I'm going to be the one that solves our problems. I'm going to bring folks together and I'm going to make Florida better. And it's two different fights.
No, that makes perfect sense. I've had four election cycles. They've all been in a relatively homogenous area of the state. Northwest Florida is homogenous insofar as the vast majority of people here are conservative Republican voters. In places like Tampa or Miami, though, like how granular do you sometimes have to get? Like, are you targeting different pockets and neighborhoods with different messaging?
We're doing that everywhere. I mean, I think in a good example is in a race up by you, we had a local race, and we were literally cutting the district into pieces to try to get more vote out of the north part of the district because we were better known up there, and we were trying to, you know, take a voter share from one of our opponents and give it to another one of our opponents in a south area. There's a lot of math that goes into it. There's a lot of scientific guessing based on data. But you're definitely targeting on a granular level in these races that are hard fought all the time, especially in these generals in the Orlando area or in the Palm Beach area. Now that Palm Beach is competitive, you're definitely looking for any wedge you can find. There was a candidate who was the mayor of her town in Palm Beach County, and we took every neighborhood, and she was in a Democrat plus, I think it was 9 or 10. She ended up being successful as a Republican by a small amount because she knew her community, and we found wedge issues that made her the better candidate versus her opponent. But that candidate was Ann Gerwig, who you're going to serve with here this coming week.
And I'm looking forward to serving with Ann. I don't know her very well. I know I at some point donated money to her campaign, but we haven't met yet. I'm looking forward to serving with her. And give us 1 second to pave, to keep the lights on around here. Anthony, we'll be right back.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
It's okay to be angry. Godly parents should be lovingly angry with their children when they make sinful choices. Christian citizens should be righteously indignant over the rapidly increasing carnality of our country. Individuals should be personally angry when we do things that we know we shouldn't. Anger is often a right and God-honoring response, but anger can quickly accelerate into sin and into opportunities for the devil. Ephesians 4 instructs us to be angry, but sin not, neither give place or opportunity to the devil. Anger can easily become unrighteous and self-glorifying. Beware of sinful anger, because that's where the devil can get a foothold and ruin your marriage, destroy your relationships with your children, and wreak relational havoc of various types. So as much as possible, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
For more Strength for Life, check out our website at strengthforlife.church.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning. This is Representative Alex Andrade filling in for Andrew McKay, who's on vacation. We've been doing traffic on the 6s so often, I figured we'd do traffic on the 4s. Really.
That's quick. Pretty good. No accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110, or even Highway 90 rolling to and from Pace is looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Thanks, John. We have in studio Walker Wilson. We have on the phone campaign consultant extraordinaire slash everybody's boogeyman if they're on the wrong side of the ballot, Anthony Pedicini. Anthony, thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Anthony, I wanted to ask, in the Florida House, we've had two Democrat state representatives flip their party registration from Democrat to Republican, which has pushed our House majority from the historic 85-member majority to an 87-member majority in the Florida House. Do you think that's a trend? That's a sign of a trend here in Florida, or what do you attribute that to?
I don't think it's a trend, Alex, unfortunately. I think it's those two members who switched, Representative Valdez from Tampa and Representative Cassell from Broward, making her the second Republican, I think, in the House from Broward, which is amazing. You could tell that all those South Florida counties that used to be deep, dark blue, Donald Trump and Ron DeSantis have made them, some of them, competitive. Donald Trump won both of those seats by a small margin, and I think those representatives wanted to better represent the majority of constituents in their district, and that helped lead to that switch. I don't know there are many more districts in the state that had that opportunity. Listen, let's talk about the Democrats for a minute. They're absolutely a disaster. Nothing could be worse. No entity in Florida could snatch victory from defeat from the mouth of victory than the Democratic Party and Nikki Fried and her cronies. They're just absolutely disorganized. They don't know how to fund anything. They don't focus on anything that people care about right now. And the Democratic Party, I think almost nationally, is in a tailspin.
And do you think that's just a disconnect from regular voters? Do you think that's due to the fact that they have to appease so many different ideologues in their party? Is there any one specific thing you can point to that would create this scenario?
I just think they're out of touch. I think they've become out of touch with mainstream America. And you know, if you go back and you read your history, Richard Nixon used to talk about a silent majority. I think some of the things that the Democrats under Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer wanted to do were so woke and so out of the mainstream that voters just rejected their entire message wholesale. And the other thing you have to remember is people are hurting. This is not an easy time to have kids or raise a family. Things are increasingly unaffordable. I know people think this is crazy, but when you can't afford eggs and chopped meat, you're really not worried about anything else. You have to keep food on your table. It's a basic tenet of life. And if you can't do that, well, you're going to look for anyone who will help you do that. And I think that's where the Republicans and Donald Trump capitalize on the election these last several years.
Yeah, I mean, so as a candidate who's knocking on doors, I can attest to the fact that when I'm knocking on doors, those are some of the questions that people are, some of the issues people are talking about. The news media's perspective, do you think coverage of Donald Trump is going to change in this upcoming term, or do you think it's going to be similar?
Well, I mean, if habit is an indicator, no. I think, the media is complicit in the Democrats' strategy and their game plan. I mean, we as Republicans bank on the media being the advertising arm of the Democratic message. And it proves to be true everywhere we go. I mean, there's no media outlet right now that's not biased to the point where you watch it and go, wow, that looks like the talking points I wrote yesterday, or that looks like the debate that these two candidates had yesterday. It's not news anymore. And I think a lot of people in this country would love a legitimate news source where they can make the decision for themselves whether or not the policy is correct, instead of being told that something that the person that they voted for or against is doing is correct. I think we're longing for that as a country.
Well,
I think it adds to the divisiveness.
Well, I did. I had like a head scratcher moment this weekend thinking about it. I mean, I remember I spoke at a Trump rally in 2020, and I talked about the fact that he started no foreign wars. You know, this is the first president in my lifetime who started no foreign conflicts. And before he's even taken office again, we're already talking about whether or not he's going to invade Canada and Greenland. And I'm baffled at the concept of, like, this is a man who's one of his biggest achievements goes untold, which is he didn't invade or start new foreign conflicts. And before he takes office, the news media is already covering as if he's going to invade Greenland. Do you think President Trump's going to invade Greenland?
I don't. I think he's craftier than that. I mean, I don't think he's going to invade Israel or Gaza. I don't think he's going to invade Ukraine. I think the guy is so crafty and part of his foreign, I don't know, chutzpah, for lack of a better word, is that foreign leaders don't know what he's going to do, and he does the unexpected, right? The other thing to realize also is I don't think he inherited this much craziness 8 years ago. He didn't come into office with all these crazy things happening, with China playing on the world stage bigger than it's ever played, with Russia having invaded a sovereign country, North Korea having troops that are aiding Russia in that conflict. I think he's got a lot of decisions to make, and he may not have a lot of choices like he had last time.
Yeah, Anthony, thank you so much. Give us 1 second for some news, and we'll be right back.
I'm CJ Papacruz. Recently contained 3 wildfires in Southern California. At least 24 people are dead. 16 other people reported missing. Fox's Connor Hanson is in Pacific Palisades.
Right now, they're concerned about Brentwood. That's another highly populated area. The Mandeville area is where we're seeing lots of airdrops, water, different fire retardant being dropped there to kind of create a barrier. The big concern is strong winds coming back.
Red flag warnings are in effect.
We have wind gusts in excess of 50, even 70 miles per hour coming later this afternoon, tonight, and into tomorrow.
It's Fox's senior meteorologist Janice Dean. Today marks 1 week until Inauguration Day, when President-elect Trump becomes the 47th president. Magnitude 6.9 earthquake strikes the Kyushu, Japan region, its third largest, most southerly island. Now there's a tsunami warning. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 45 degrees. It is cloudy. It's been a rainy morning here in Pensacola. Well, there was a big crowd at the Pensacola Bay Center on Saturday for the Mardi Gras Mambo kickoff event. Now, headliners Little John and Young Jock played, along with some local artists, including the DeLuna Brass Band. This was the second year for the Mardi Gras Mambo. Crew Royalty was also introduced as contestants for the King and Queen Priscus 2026, mythical rulers of the Pensacola Mardi Gras season. We are learning a little bit more about the community health of Northwest Florida cyber attack from last month. We are learning that community health has now fully restored their communication systems after that cyber attack. Officials say that all patients can now use their regular clinic phone number to make appointments or fill prescriptions. The temporary hotline number they'd been using will remain online temporarily as a backup measure. The attack last month knocked out phones, internet, and computer servers, forcing the organization to briefly close some of their clinics and pharmacies. Those all did reopen shortly after that attack. Affordable housing for military members and their families is now on the way after the city of Pensacola won a $608,000 state grant. The Florida Department of Commerce awarded that grant to acquire land located near NAS Pensacola. Mayor D.C. Reeves says the city has not identified any specific property as of this time. Well, just under a week now until the inauguration of President-elect Donald Trump, South Florida Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz says she's worried about what this new term could mean for U.S. relations with Venezuela or other dictatorships in Latin America.
What I'm concerned about with the incoming administration is that Donald Trump is going to play footsie and either look away and just ignore that Maduro reinstalled himself.
But Representative Maria Elvira Salazar, a Republican, disagrees with that assessment. She thinks Trump is possibly the only person who could command a better outcome in that situation. Trump's inauguration falls on January 20th. Florida's attorney general may become its next senator. The Washington Post is reporting that Governor DeSantis is leaning toward naming Ashley Moody to replace Senator Marco Rubio. President-elect Trump has nominated Rubio to be his Secretary of State. The Post reports that DeSantis has not officially made a decision, though, if he does choose Moody. The Post says he could replace her as attorney general with Chief of Staff James Utmeyer. Blue Origin's hopes of getting a milestone mission off the ground overnight in the Space Coast have been dashed. The private space company founded by Jeff Bezos scrubbed the inaugural launch of its new Glenn rocket from the Cape Canaveral Space Force Station. Blue Origin says their goal does remain the same, to safely get that rocket into orbit, then land its booster in the Atlantic on the company's drone ship. There's no word on when their next launch attempt will happen. 7:35, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by the Watson Firm, Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, you can visit Watson Firm Life.com. No accidents to let you know about right now. But if you're traveling on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, even past that, you're going to see some congestion delays through that construction zone. But other than that, traffic is rolling smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thank you very much, John. And now a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
A wet start to your morning with showers slowly coming to an end as we head into your late morning, early afternoon. Highs today going to be on the cooler side, topping out today in the 50s. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. For Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 53. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 41 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now it is still wet out there, although it looks like the rain has stopped. For now, we've got 45 in Pensacola, 44 in Gulf Breeze, and 45 in Milton. Our next news is at 8 o'clock. We have breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg has slammed Apple's recent innovation efforts, like its Vision Pro headset, in a podcast interview with Joe Rogan. He said that Apple hasn't invented anything great in roughly two decades since Steve Jobs created the iPhone. Zuckerberg also said that if Apple stopped applying its random rules, Meta's profit would double. The healthcare and social assistance sectors added 902,000 jobs in 2024. That's according to the most recent employment report from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The government sector came in a distant second, creating some 440,000 jobs last year. However, a second Trump administration may pose risks to growth in both areas. British drug maker GSK said it will pay just over $1.1 billion to buy Boston-based pharmaceutical firm IDRx, which is developing a treatment for a rare type of tumor. Futures are moderately lower. Friday, the Dow Industrials lost 696. That's your money now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Banakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Banakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Banakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Banakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Banakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Banakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were thinking about buying a Honda Odyssey, and we had about 6 months we figured left on the main gasket, head gasket for our Grand Caravan, and we just wanted to test drive an Odyssey to make sure it's what we wanted. Nobody had one. It just was the wrong age for the pre-owned certifieds, and it was a whole mess. We couldn't find one to test drive, but we knew we wanted to make sure what we were going to buy eventually. Well, Frontier had one, and we test drove it, and we loved it. And they said, do you want to look at a price? And we didn't want to be rude and say no. So we looked at the price. We're like, oh, that's a pretty good price. Can you come down a little bit? And they said, yes. We said, well, can you give us a day? And they said, yes. We said, can you come down a little bit more? And they said, yes. And we said, well, can we buy it? And they said, yes. I mean, it was that easy. And we wound up buying a one-year-old car with about 12,000 miles on it that had come back from an auction in Orlando because the dealership there couldn't sell it for whatever reason. And we got a great deal on an outstanding car that we have loved ever since. And we didn't go to buy a car. We just went to look at it, and we couldn't say no once we saw what they had. That's how easy it is to find good quality cars at Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
I'm Robert Bender, your supervisor of elections for Escambia County. The office of U.S. House of Representatives District 1 is open, and Governor DeSantis has called a special election to fill the vacancy. Please mark your calendars for these very important dates. The special Republican-only primary election is on January 28, 2025, and the special general election will be held on April 1, 2025. For more information, go to escambiavotes.gov. That's escambiavotes.gov.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, hear from local community leaders on how Sonny's Barbecue is helping to build a strong Pensacola. With four Sonny's locations serving the News Radio listening area, Navy Boulevard, Pine Forest, 9th Avenue, and Pace. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
Are you hungry for news that keeps you informed, is local and dependable?
Look no further than News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and on AM 1620. We're your trusted source for all the latest happenings in the Emerald Coast. From breaking news to in-depth reports, we've got you covered. Our team of experienced journalists brings you the stories that matter most to our community. Stay connected with local events, weather updates, and traffic reports, ensuring you're always one step ahead. We're News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
This is Alex Andrade filling in for Andrew McKay. I have here in studio Walker Wilson, and on the phone we have campaign consultant extraordinaire Anthony Pedicini. Walker, do you have a question for Anthony?
Sure, why not? Good morning, Anthony.
Hey, Walker.
Glad you're here. And, you know, we've got a potential vacancy here with Marco Rubio going to serve on Trump's cabinet here in a little while, and just kind of chatter about one, how that's filled. It'll be appointed by Governor DeSantis for, I guess, just 2 years, and then they'll have an election. But what are kind of the rumblings around Tallahassee on who's going to maybe get the nod for that Senate seat?
I think that anyone who knows the inner workings of Governor DeSantis's mind is maybe you could call them a little crazy, because no one knows what Ron DeSantis is going to do. He definitely beats to his own drum. The Washington Post had an article out today where the headline is, DeSantis said to lean toward replacing Rubio with Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody. And, you know, Ashley Moody, our firm has worked for her. She's a great conservative. She backed the lawsuit against the Affordable Care Act under the Obama administration. She sided with the governor to fly illegal aliens from Texas to other blue states. She's got a great record, and she's a good conservative who'll hit the ground running in D.C. There was a lot of speculation it was going to be Laura Trump for a little bit, Walker, if you remember.
Yeah.
That seems to have faded away. You know, it's all palace intrigue at this point. I don't think anybody knows who's going to be the next U.S. senator from Florida except Ron DeSantis and maybe his wife. And when they know, I think we all will know. The good news is, if it is Ashley Moody, it changes the shape of the governor's race in 26 a little bit, or does it? And then the governor has another appointment. He gets to appoint a CFO and an AG before he terms out here in 26.
And that strategy of appointing folks in current positions and getting another appointment is something Governor DeSantis has done historically, Anthony. I know, like for judges, if you're a county court judge and there's a circuit court judge position that's open, you're very likely, you have a better chance of getting it, because then Governor DeSantis, by appointing you to that circuit position, gets to appoint someone else to a county court judge position as well. But whoever gets appointed, they're going to have to turn around and run for reelection in 2 years, right?
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know if that's the case. I think that's the case. It's the case with other appointments. You have to run in the next general election of the term that you're filling. The governor's only given two guidelines he's going to use who the appointment is. That they got to deliver on President Trump's mandate, and they have to understand Florida and rely on their strong principles. I guess that's three things. That is, you know, for a statewide office, there's not many politicians who know the entire state like a governor would, or like Rick Scott would as a U.S. senator, or Marco Rubio would as a U.S. senator. So that kind of narrows the pool. I don't think there's a bad choice here out of the candidates that are all mentioned in the media. But, you know, the people of Florida need a good attorney general after we get a good U.S. senator, and we need a good CFO. Those are very vital positions. Everyone's worried about insurance rates. That I know Walker and Alex, you guys have experienced that in Pensacola, even as we experience in South Florida. Who the CFO is going to be is really important as well. And I think we need to keep our eye on those balls too.
Do you have an idea of the timeline for when he might make these appointments?
He says it's coming soon. He said, the governor said mid-January, before the president takes office. So that would be put us in a seven-day window, right? But I think in the next 7 days, we're going to know who the United States Senator from Florida is.
Awesome. Let's take traffic really quick, and we'll be right back.
That's right. We have a disabled vehicle with roadblock that's at the intersection of Olive Road and Davis Highway. So just be aware of that. Starting to see traffic back up there. Also, I-10 eastbound through the construction zone between Pine Forest and Highway 29. Seeing some delays just due to congestion. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Anthony, we were talking about 2026 and looking towards 2026. It feels early, and 2 years in politics is a lifetime, but you just mentioned the governor's race. Do you have a feel for who might be throwing their hat in the ring and what we might be looking at in a gubernatorial election like we haven't seen since 2018?
There are so many people that are rumored to be running for governor, Alex. You may be one. I don't even know. Hell, Walker could be one at this point. I mean, Matt Gaetz has talked about it. Byron Donalds has talked about it. Ashley Moody's talked about it. Wilton Simpson is an ag commissioner. His name is mentioned consistently. I would say this. No one knew who Rick Scott was before he decided he wanted to run for governor, and he became the governor several months later. So Florida is a big place now. We have a lot of billionaire candidates who can self-fund. I think there's a lot of time on that clock, and anything can happen. I think it's going to be fun to watch. And maybe participate in.
historically, about how many folks do you think normally survive to go serve, to go run in a primary? I think I normally only see about two or three candidates actually make it all the way to be on the primary ballot, at least on the Republican side. Do you think there's enough money in a campaign like this to support five or six candidates to actually make it onto the primary ballot in a race like the Florida governor's race?
Well, I mean, there were three candidates in the primary who ran for ad commissioner back in the day, when Matt Caldwell ran and Denise Grimsley and Baxter Troutman, if you remember that. And that led to Nikki Fried eventually becoming the first Democratic elected in a while on the cabinet. Ron DeSantis only faced
Putnam.
Adam Putnam, right? That was a head-to-head. There's also a bunch of people who filed that aren't real. So let's talk about just real candidates. Is there enough money? Yes, I think there's enough money to play in certain media markets. Could you cobble together a campaign? Yes. Would it be great? Probably not. And if you can't raise the $10 million you need to compete in a Florida statewide race or get close to it, you probably don't belong in the race. But again, we've had governors like Rick Scott who came out of nowhere and self-funded to the tune of what, $100 million the first race, 110?
Yeah. And just kind of sticking with the topic of money and funding campaigns, you know, what have you seen either, you know, a rise, decline, or how they've affected differently political committees or PACs when it comes to elections, whether it's statewide, local, for the legislature? What's been your experience with dealing with some of that and how that really, you know, pushes the needle one way or the other in a campaign?
You know, Walker, that's a great question because that's what gave me the boogeyman moniker, I think Alex keeps mentioning here on these breaks. You know, Florida political committees are entities that can receive unlimited funds legally. The funds have to be reported, who the donation is, where it comes from, how much it is. Those are all things that have to be reported. Now, political committees can donate to other political committees. So that's where people start to call it dark money, because you don't know where the money came from when a committee gives it to a committee. And you can't make a donation to a committee for a specific purpose. So no one can say that if I gave Alex Andrade's PC, a political committee, $10,000, and he gave $2,500 to Walker Wilson for dog catcher, that my donation, you know, landed in Walker Wilson's lap, because you can't say that. So that's where people get frustrated and call it dark money. Look, like we talked about earlier in the first segment this morning, campaigns are getting more expensive and more robust, and that $1,000 limit on individual contributions and corporate contributions directly to candidates sometimes doesn't cut it. And so political committees exist and are thriving because there's more money need to, than we can raise in the hard dollar account to win campaigns. And so candidates rely on that soft money, that dark money that people call it, to win. And so, yes, there's a proliferation of political committees in Florida today.
Well, you haven't said that there's anything wrong with the system, but do you think that one solution to some of the complaint about dark money could be raising the limit that folks could donate to actual people's campaigns?
Yeah, I mean, look, if you made – Pennsylvania has no limit on political donations. I think there's one other state like that. And there's a Supreme Court case, Alex, that we've never talked about from years ago where the state of Vermont or New Hampshire had a lawsuit that went all the way to the Supreme Court where they tried to cap donations at $250 for statewide candidates, $250. And the Supreme Court ruled that was not legally – there was no legally sufficient reason to cap it that low, and it would inhibit candidates from their speech right, their First Amendment right. So the court also said that you know, if different states have different amounts that they limit contributions to, then it blurries the lines because contribution limits are supposed to limit corruption. So if there's no limit in Pennsylvania and a $1,000 limit in Florida, does that mean that there's less corruption in Pennsylvania or less corruption in Florida? You don't know. So I think it's a sticky wicket. I think that to go down that rabbit hole, I think if you did raise the hard dollar contribution, it'd be easier for candidates to raise money directly. I would love to see no limits, and you have to report it and no more committees. So then if you're the candidate, you're going to admit I took $1 million from person X, and I'm basically bought and paid for by that person. I think that would be such a more direct way to go and make candidates much more accountable. I'm saying that, and I'm in love with political committees. By
well, and before we go to some ad spots, I just wanted to point out on our ethics requirements for the state, like I as a state legislator, no one can even buy me a coffee. No one can buy me a coffee, but they can give me a $10,000 check to a political committee, and I can buy all the coffee I want and have any meeting I want. It's such a bizarre loophole that I agree with you, Anthony. I think if we just all acknowledge that there's a First Amendment right for people to spend their money how they see fit and buy ads, so long as we're all transparent about it, it would become a more fair system if you changed it away from this kind of political committee system that we have. We have to do a couple spots and do traffic, and we'll be right back.
Sarah, Happy New Year. You look amazing. How are things with you and Mark?
Lisa, I can't thank you enough for telling me about Wave Men's Health. We've totally rediscovered each other. Mark's working out. Oh, and we're doing more as a family than laying around watching TV.
I told you, they're incredible. My husband and I had the same experience. It's like having that spark all over again, isn't it?
Exactly. It's more than the physical. It's the connection, the energy. It's the best gift we could have given ourselves.
This new year, make the resolution that changes it all. Wave Men's Health brings you proven options for ED, low testosterone, and enhancement. Reignite your drive, rebuild your confidence, and show up in the moments that matter most.
Here's to more love and more joy in the year ahead.
Cheers to that.
Book your appointment today at wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. That's wavemenshealth.com or dial 850-266-7020. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
morning. This is Alex Andrade filling in for Andrew McKay. I got Walker Wilson in the studio, and we're going to kick it to John for traffic.
That's right. Brought to you by Generator Source, powering Pensacola businesses with industrial generators to commercial backup systems with the most trusted brands, expert installation, and 24/7 support. That's GeneratorSource.com. Still dealing with the disabled vehicle at the intersection of Olive Road and Davis Highway. Starting to see some delays on Davis Highway associated with that. I-10, if you're rolling through I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and through the Highway 29 exit, you're going to see some construction delays, maybe about 10, 15-minute delays associated with that. But other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. We have Anthony Pedicini on the line right now. Anthony is a campaign consultant for mainly Republican candidates across the state. Anthony, as a campaign consultant for mostly Republican candidates, are you involved at all in the Republican Party of Florida and like the inner workings of the party system itself?
No, not directly. But you know, when you run campaigns, you have no. I mean, you're going to coordinate with the party in the general, and the party's an interesting animal, right? I mean, we're very robust in Florida. I usually call it the Republican industrial complex, a campaign complex, because there's if you're a Republican candidate, you've got a number of treasurers you can hire. You've got a number of pollsters you can hire. You've got a few consultants that are good that you can hire, and then a lot of ones that are bad. And that's self-serving, by the way. you have more choices. Democrats don't have as many choices in Florida as Republicans, and that's because we have a strong and robust party. And unfortunately, you know, if you want to lift up the kimono and see how the sausage is made, the party is a diverse group of people who are very interesting in their own right. Party chairs and state committee men and women from all over the state who probably couldn't agree on the color of the sky. And yet we managed to have a very well-functioning party in Florida.
And there was recently a conclave, I would say, for the party to get together and choose who's going to chair the party for the next year. Were you watching that at all?
Yeah, I mean, Evan Power won that election handily. He had a guy who ran out of Charlotte County, who actually the guy who ran out of Charlotte County ran against Governor DeSantis' appointee for supervisor of elections, Leah Valenti, down there. And why you would challenge Evan Power in a time when he took over the party and had such historic numbers is insane. But that's the Republican Party of Florida. There's a little fight in the party right now. And there's a group of people who don't know how to run campaigns and think if you do a 15-minute video on Facebook and can yell the loudest, you can win an election. And that's just not how elections work. And they're trying to shape the party in that image. And they think, Alex, people like you and people like me who are establishment Republicans, I've never been an established Republican my whole life, but that's what I'm called, that we're bad for the party, and we don't do grassroots. I don't know. I've walked more doors than many people I've met. My candidates walk more doors than most other candidates. We're very reliant on the grassroots. So there's a little tiff in the party right now between a small minority of upstarts and what they call establishment folks.
Yeah, I think the definition for some folks of what an establishment Republican is if you've won an election. Suddenly, if you win an election, suddenly you're part of the problem and you're the establishment. It's almost a visceral opposition to just successful candidacies, and we see that across the state. I think it's me personally. My theory is that a lot of times it's party folks who are resting on their laurels, who are too comfortable with the fact that we've had so much success in the state. We're coming up on time, but Anthony, thank you so much for contributing to that success in the state we've had as a party. Thank you for everything you do, and thanks for helping maybe open some people's eyes to the fact that you're not the biggest boogeyman like some people might describe you as.
Thanks for having me, and maybe this is something that we should think about doing more often, Alex.
I'd love to, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Listen on air.